We continue now with the life and revelations of Saint Gertrude. Chapter 39, Preparation for Pentecost, for the Sunday after Ascension. How to prepare ourselves worthily to receive the Holy Ghost. As the Feast of Pentecost was now approaching, Saint Gertrude besought our Lord at communion on this day to prepare her to receive these four virtues: purity of heart, humility, tranquility, and concord. As she prayed for purity, she perceived that her heart was whiter than snow. As she asked for humility, she saw our Lord prepare a cave in her soul to receive His graces. When she asked for tranquility, she saw Him surround her heart with a golden circle to preserve it from the snares of the enemy. Then she said to Him, "Alas, my Lord, I fear that I shall soon ruin this rampart of tranquility, for as soon as I see anything which I know to be contrary to Thy will, I cannot conceal my resentment and oppose it vehemently." To this, our Lord replied, "This emotion will not disturb a holy tranquility, but rather adorns it, strengthening in you, as it were, so many barriers across which the burning love of the Holy Ghost breathes more efficaciously and refreshes your soul more sweetly." She then asked our Lord for the virtue of concord, and He crowned with this virtue all the other virtues which the Holy Spirit had imparted to her. But as she feared that if she suffered many contradictions on account of her zeal for regular observance, they would prove an occasion of losing this precious grace, the Lord replied, "The virtue of concord is not injured when men oppose injustice, and I myself will restrain your zeal so that you may be entirely conformed in all things to the operations of my divine spirit." Then she understood that whoever prays devoutly to God for the same virtues in order to prepare a dwelling for the Holy Spirit and tries to advance in them every day by practicing them faithfully, will receive the same advantages. Chapter 40, For the Vigil and the Feast of Pentecost, of the Gifts of the Holy Ghost and Other Exercises for this Day. As Saint Gertrude prayed very devoutly on the Vigil of Pentecost, that she might be prepared to receive the Holy Ghost, she heard our Lord saying these words to her interiorly with great love: "You will receive the virtue of the Holy Spirit, which is coming to you." But while she felt extreme joy and satisfaction at these words, she thought also of her utter unworthiness, and it appeared to her as if a cave was made in her heart, which became deeper and deeper as this sentiment of unworthiness increased in her soul. Then she saw a stream of honey coming forth from the heart of Jesus and distilling itself into hers until it was entirely filled. By this she understood that it was the unction and grace of the Holy Ghost which flowed thus sweetly from the heart of the Son of God into the hearts of the faithful. Then the Son of God blessed this cave with His divine hand, as a baptismal font is blessed, so that each time her soul entered therein, it might be purified from every stain. As she rejoiced at this holy benediction, she said to our Lord, "Alas, my Lord, unworthy sinner that I am, I confess with grief that through my frailty I have offended in many ways against Thy omnipotence, and that my ignorance and malice have often offended against Thy wisdom and goodness. Therefore, O Father of mercies, have mercy on me, and give me strength from Thy strength to resist all that is contrary to Thy will. Give me grace from Thy inconceivable wisdom to avoid all that may offend Thy pure eyes, and enable me to adhere faithfully to Thee by Thy superabundant mercy, so that I may never depart from Thy will in the very least degree." As she said these words, she appeared to be plunged into this cave to be regenerated therein, so that she came forth purified from every stain and whiter than snow. And being presented thus before the divine majesty, she put herself under the protection of all the saints, as a newly baptized person is placed in the care of their sponsors, that they might pray to God for her. Then all the saints offered their merits to God very joyfully in satisfaction for her negligences and needs. Saint Gertrude, thus being adorned, was placed by our Lord himself before him, so that his divine breath entered into her soul, uniting her will efficaciously to his, and saying to her, "Such are the delights which I enjoy with the children of men." For the respirations of her soul indicated her goodwill, and the breath of our Lord, his acceptance of her good intentions and desires. Thus Gertrude reposed sweetly in the arms of her spouse, waiting until he should impart to her more perfect dispositions for the reception of the Holy Ghost. As she offered some special prayers to obtain from God the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the first for the gift of fear, that it might keep her from evil, our Lord appeared to plant a very high tree in the center of her heart, which extended its branches so as to cover it entirely. This tree had little spikes, from which grew very beautiful flowers. The spikes signified the gift of the fear of the Lord, which pricks the soul with compunction when it is inclined to evil. The flowers indicated the goodwill, which, joined to the fear of God, mortifies the soul against sin. And if man avoids evil and performs good actions, the tree produces fruit. Then, as she asked for the other gifts, they were shown to her under the form of trees, differing in their fruits according to the different virtues. A kind of dew distilled from the trees of knowledge and piety, from which she understood that those who apply themselves to these two virtues are watered by a gentle rain, which makes them flower and bear fruit. The trees of the gift of counsel and fortitude had little cords of gold, which signified that these gifts rendered the soul capable of comprehending spiritual things. Streams of delicious nectar flowed from the trees of wisdom and understanding, from which she learned that God pours himself forth efficaciously on the soul by these gifts, and that it thus becomes satiated with the sweetness of his love. That night, at matins, as the saint felt an extreme debility, which made her think that she could not live long, she said to our Lord, "What honor and what glory canst thou gain from a miserable creature like me, who can only remain so short a time at the office?" Our Lord replied, "In order that sensible things may assist you to understand those which are spiritual, consider that a bridegroom finds the greatest pleasure in the most familiar intercourse with his bride, and I assure you that no bridegroom ever found more satisfaction in the endearments of his bride than I do whenever my elect offer me their hearts, purified from all sin, that I may take my delight therein." As she approached to receive Holy Communion, our Lord refreshed her heart by a divine exhalation which came forth from his sacred limbs and which gave her ineffable pleasure, God making known to her that she had merited to receive the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit by her earnest prayers. After she had communicated, she offered the whole life of Jesus Christ to God the Father in satisfaction for her fault in never having made a sufficiently worthy preparation to receive him into her heart, even from the hour of her regeneration in baptism. Then she saw the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove descending from heaven upon the adorable sacrament with an impetuous flight like that of an eagle, and seeking the sweet heart of Jesus, he appeared to enter therein and find there a most agreeable abode. As the hymn Veni Creator was chanted at Tierce, our Lord appeared to her and opened his heart full of sweetness and tenderness to her. Gertrude knelt before it, inclining so that her head rested in the center of his heart, and her spouse took her head and pressed it to himself, uniting her will to his. and sanctifying it. At the second verse, she placed the hands of her soul, that is, her actions, in the heart of Jesus and obtained consolations which so fortified her in her exercises of piety that all which she performed henceforth could not fail to be most acceptable to God. At the third verse, she placed the feet of her soul, that is, her desires, in the Sacred Heart, and thereby obtained their sanctification. At the fourth verse, she recommended her senses to God and obtained this promise, that they should be so illuminated as to reflect their light upon the senses of others, who should be thereby excited to love God. At the fifth verse, our Lord inclined towards her and embraced her to shield her against all the attacks of her enemies, and in all this she experienced such satisfaction in her soul as to understand clearly what our Lord had said to her on the preceding day, "You shall receive the virtue of the Holy Ghost, which will come to you." Chapter 41, for Monday in Whitsun Week, how the oblation of the sacred hosts applies for our deficiencies. Exercises for the Agnus Dei. On Monday, at the elevation, St. Gertrude offered the sacred host in satisfaction for her deficiencies in acquiring spiritual goods, and even for extinguishing the light of the Holy Spirit. It appeared to her that this sacred host emitted a number of branches, which were collected by the Holy Spirit and placed in the form of a hedge round the throne of the ever-blessed Trinity. From this, she understood that the excellence and dignity of this great sacrament supplied fully for all her negligences. A voice also came forth from the throne which said, "Let her who has given such rare flowers to her spouse approach his divine and nuptial couch without fear." She understood by this that God considered her perfect in habits of virtue, in consideration of the oblation which she had made to him of this most holy sacrament. At the first Agnus Dei, she prayed for the whole church, as usual, beseeching God to govern it in all things as a true father. At the second Agnus Dei, she prayed for the faithful departed, that he might show mercy to them and release them from all their pains. At the third Agnus Dei, she asked for an increase of merit for all the saints and the elect who should reign with him in heaven. At the words Dona Nobis Pacem, our Lord inclined so lovingly towards her that the sweetness of his embrace penetrated into the depth of the hearts of all the saints, and they received thereby an immense increase of grace and merit. After this, as she approached the Holy Communion, the saints rose up before her with honor and joy, and she saw that the light of their merits shone gloriously, even as a shield of gold shines when exposed to the rays of the sun, and the reflection of this light shone into her soul. St. Gertrude then remained in the presence of God as if in expectation, because she had not yet obtained the grace of being united to him. At last, after communion, her soul was united to this divine spouse with such plenitude that she enjoyed his presence in the most perfect manner possible in this world. Then the branches of which we have already spoken, with which the Holy Spirit had surrounded the throne of the ever-blessed Trinity, began to shoot forth green leaves and flowers, even as a plant flourishes after abundant rain, so that the ever-peaceful Trinity found ineffable pleasure therein, and all the saints experienced new delights. Chapter 42, for the Tuesday in Whitsun Week, how the Sacred Host supplies for all our negligences, and how the Holy Spirit unites himself in communion to holy souls. On Tuesday in Whitsun Week, St. Gertrude offered the host to God in satisfaction and reparation for her deficiency and gratitude for the favor which he had bestowed on her of uniting her more closely to himself than others, and because she had not detached herself from everything else to attach herself entirely to him. And as she did this with a perfect and full intention of suffering the penalty which she considered due to her negligence and weakness, our Lord, who is full of goodness and who esteems a good will even as an act, appeared fully satisfied. And the Holy Spirit, concentrating all the virtues of this most holy sacrament, entered with the host into the soul of Gertrude at the moment of communion, and God then united himself closely and inseparably to her. Chapter 43, For the Feast of the Blessed Trinity. How we may glorify the Most Holy Trinity by our Lord Jesus Christ, and what obstacles human affections place to our advancement. On the Feast of the Effulgent and Ever-Peaceful Trinity, St. Gertrude recited this salutation, Be thou glorified, O most mighty, most excellent, most noble, most sweet, most benignant, ever-peaceful and ineffable Trinity, who art one God now and to endless ages. As she offered this salutation to our Lord, he appeared to her, in his humanity, in which he is said to be less than his Father, and stood in the presence of the adorable Trinity with all the beauty and grace of a perfect man. He had a most brilliant and beautiful flower on each part of his body, to which nothing material could be compared. They indicated by their brightness that as our baseness and unworthiness were utterly incapable of praising the adorable Trinity, our Lord, by taking our nature, had so elevated it as to make it worthy of being offered in sacrifice to this adorable Trinity. When Vespers commenced, our Lord offered his heart to the Blessed Trinity as a musical instrument, and by it every note and every word which was chanted in the office on that day resounded most melodiously before God. But the chants of those who had little devotion emitted a low and unmelodious sound, like that which is heard on the large strings of a musical instrument. At the antiphon, a voice came from the throne singing, Let my divine Son, in whom is all my delight, approach me and give me a sweet and loving embrace. Then the Son of God approached under his human form, embracing this incomprehensive divinity to which his sacred humanity alone has merited to be united so blessedly and so inseparably. Then the Son of God said to his most pure mother, in whose honor this antiphon was chanted, Do you also approach, my most dear mother, and embrace me? And at this embrace, the same flowers and the same beauty appeared on her as on our Lord, because it was from her he took human flesh. She learned also that whenever the Son is named on this most holy festival, the Father unites himself in an ineffable manner with the Son, whose humanity receives thereby a glory which reflects itself upon the saints, giving them new knowledge of the incomprehensible Trinity. In the morning, when the antiphon Te Juri Laudent was chanted at Lourdes, St. Gertrude praised the ever-blessed Trinity with her whole soul, desiring to do the same at the moment of her death, if it were possible, and it appeared to her that the effulgent and ever-peaceful Trinity inclined gently towards the heart of Jesus, which resounded before it like a harp, and that three words therein were united to pay the homage which St. Gertrude had failed in rendering to the Blessed Trinity, and these three words were, the omnipotence of the Father, the wisdom of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. As she continued in sentiments of most fervent devotion all the morning, she began to consider whether it was her negligence which had prevented her from receiving as many lights as usual. But our Lord consoled her by these words, Although my justice has deprived you of some lights and knowledge, on account of the human satisfaction which you have taken in chanting the office, you may nevertheless be assured that the pains which you have chosen to endure in this service will not fail of their reward. On another occasion, also, and on the same high festival, St. Gertrude was vouchsafed the most sublime graces, particularly at the church's offices, which are known to God alone. Chapter 44. For the Feast of St. John the Baptist. Apparition of the Saint. Effects of his intercession. On the Feast of St. John the Baptist, June 24th, as the saint assisted at matins with all possible devotion, this saint appeared to her standing before the throne of God in all the glory of his special prerogative of having baptized our Lord and being the precursor of Christ. As the saint considered him thus, she began to reflect why he was always represented as an aged man and with a careworn countenance. But St. John informed her that this manner of representing him served to augment his glory, and that God had expressly permitted it to teach men that the ardent desire which he had of serving him would have led him to use every effort to combat the injustice and iniquity of men, and to attain to the highest perfection himself, even to old age. And as he died in these sentiments, God had given him a very high reward for them. As St. Gertrude inquired if his merits had been increased on account of his parents having been so perfect and holy, he replied, "Because I had holy parents, I was brought up to a greater love of justice, and therefore I was rendered more worthy of a place near the throne of God. But as for their rank and worldly advantages, I gained nothing by them except by despising them and by seeking to elevate my mind to heavenly knowledge, so that I have gained a glory similar to that of a soldier who, returning victorious from battle, rejoices all the more for having overcome more of the snares and surprises of his enemies than others." During Mass, at which the religious communicated, St. John appeared to her again in crimson vestments, and his mantle was adorned with as many little golden lambs as there had been communions received in his honor throughout the whole church. Then she saw the saint praying for all who had venerated him on that day, and he specially sought to obtain for them the same grace which he had himself acquired, namely his zeal and fidelity in the conversion of sinners. Chapter 45. For the Feast of the Holy Apostles, Saints Peter and Paul. How we may feed Christ's sheep spiritually. Of the intercession of the apostles, and the fruit of Holy Communion. On the great festival of the princes of the apostles, as the second response, Si Diligis Mei, was chanted at matins, St. Gertrude asked our Lord what flock she should feed to testify her love for him. Our Lord replied, "Feed 5 lambs which are most dear to me. Feed your heart with divine meditations, your lips with edifying words, your eyes with pious reading, your ears with charitable admonitions, and your hands with continual labor. For your attachment and application to such things will be the greatest testimony of your affection which you can bestow on me." By these holy meditations she understood all thoughts for the glory of God, for the welfare of others, and for her own salvation. The same was indicated by edifying discourses. By pious reading, she understood all that could contribute to our salvation, as looking upon a crucifix, assisting the poor, giving good example. By charitable admonitions, she understood receiving correction patiently. But as continual reading was inconsistent with manual labor, she understood that the desire of it was sufficient when the accomplishment was not possible. At Mass, as she returned thanks for the special privileges bestowed on St. Peter, and particularly his having heard these words from our Lord himself, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven," the saint appeared to her vested as a pope, and extending his hands, he gave her his benediction, that it might work in her the same effects as it had worked in others, through the power which God had given him. as she approached the holy altar and trembled for her unworthiness. Saint Peter and Saint Paul appeared to her, one on her right hand and the other on her left hand, as if to conduct her thither with great pomp. And when she had reached it, the Son of God received her himself, saying to her, I have brought you thither with the same arms with which I embrace you. But I have done this through the ministry of my apostles, that your devotion might be fully satisfied. Then, as she remembered she had not returned thanks for the graces bestowed on Saint Paul, she besought our Lord to supply for her negligence. After communion, as she prayed, she seemed to be seated as a queen beside a king, on the same throne with our divine Lord, before whom the apostles knelt as soldiers receiving gifts from a prince, for her communion had appeared to increase their merits. And as she was surprised at this, and thought that those saints must have acquired sufficient merit for having offered the adorable sacrifice so frequently when on earth, she was told that the saints took special delight in a soul when it has received Holy Communion with devotion and piety, even as a bride is congratulated on the day of her nuptials. Chapter 46. For the Feast of Saint Margaret, Virgin and Martyr. The glory of this saint, and of the recompense which God reserves for the least good action. A footnote. The Feast of Saint Margaret, Virgin and Martyr, occurs on the 20th July. She obtained her crown at Antioch in the last general persecution. The crusaders brought home glowing traditions of her virgin purity, her heroic constancy, and her sublime faith, so that devotion to her was exceedingly propagated in England, France, and Germany during the Middle Ages. Her relics are now at Monte Fiasconi in Tuscany. As St. Gertrude assisted at Vespers on the festival of the glorious Virgin, St. Margaret, she appeared to her in exceeding beauty, standing before the throne of God at the commencement of the response, Virgo Veneranda. Rays of light appeared to come forth from the King of Glory, which renewed and enhanced the merit of the virginity and beauty of the saint, even as the touches of a painter enhance the perfection of his work. At the words in Magna Stans Constantia, a ray from the light of the Passion increased the merits of her martyrdom. And as the words Spanisque Redens Primea were chanted, our Lord turned to his spouse, the Blessed Margaret, and said lovingly to her, My daughter, have I not increased your merits to the highest degree? And yet I am asked to increase them further. Then he united together all the devotions of those who had solemnized this feast to enhance the glory of this most blessed Virgin. After this, Saint Margaret turned to Gertrude and said to her, Rejoice and be glad, O elect of my Lord, for assuredly, after the short term of your affliction on earth, you shall rejoice for all eternity in heaven, where the brief moments of temporal affliction and bitterness which you have endured shall be recompensed by endless years of sweetness and consolation. And all that you suffer now, either in body or soul, is an effect of the special love which God bears you, since you are daily more and more favored with such sufferings, and you are thereby more prepared for the joys of eternity. Consider, she continued, that on the day on which I obtained the glory which I now enjoy, instead of being honored as I now am by the whole world, I was despised by all, and thought miserable and afflicted. Have, therefore, this firm confidence, that when this life has ended, you will infallibly enjoy the eternal embraces of your spouse, and those joys and delights which neither eye hath seen nor ear heard, and which it hath not entered into the heart of man to conceive. Chapter 47. For the Feast of Saint Mary Magdalene, of True Penance and Goodwill. At the first vespers of the Feast of Saint Mary Magdalene, on July 22nd, this blessed lover of Jesus appeared to Gertrude, adorned with as many precious stones and rare flowers as she had formerly committed sins. The saint understood that the flowers signified the sovereign goodness of God in pardoning her sins, and the precious stones, the penance by which the divine grace had enabled her to expiate them. At Matins, St. Gertrude besought this saint to intercede for her and for all who were committed to her care. Then St. Mary Magdalene cast herself at the feet of our Lord and kissed them tenderly, raising them gently from the ground, as if to invite all penitents to approach them. Gertrude then approached and kissed them devoutly and said to him, "I offer thee now, O most loving Lord, the sorrows of all those who are under my care, and with them I water thy blessed feet with my tears." Our Lord replied, "I accept your offering for them, and tell them that they should wipe my feet with their hair, kiss them, and pour perfumes upon them." From this, she understood three things. First, that they wiped our Lord's feet with their hair, if they now endeavored to expose themselves to every kind of adversity, to efface any faults which they might have committed formerly by not bearing their sufferings patiently. Secondly, that they kissed his feet who confided fully in the goodness of God, who easily forgives all the sins for which we are truly penitent. Thirdly, that we anoint them when we avoid carefully all that is displeasing to God. Our Lord then said to her, "Pour forth this ointment on me with the same devotion as Magdalene opened the alabaster box and poured it upon my head, so that the odor perfumed the whole house. And know that if you defend the truth, you will act thus. Those who love and defend the truth, and for its sake lose friends or any other advantage, pour forth on my head a box of precious ointment, the perfume of which fills my house. For he who corrects others by giving good example emits a sweet odor. And if he fails in any way in the manner of correcting or reprehending, either by negligence or by roughness, I will excuse him before God my Father and the whole court of heaven, even as I excused Magdalene." To this, Gertrude replied, "O Lord, since it is related of this loving penitent that she bought this ointment, can I not render thee a similar service?" He answered, "Whosoever desires that my glory may be promoted in all things, in preference to his own advantage or convenience, purchases a most precious ointment for me, although it may often happen that his good will cannot be carried into effect." Chapter 48. For the Feast of St. James. Advantages of the pilgrimage to Compostela, and how we may honor the saints by communion. A footnote. It will be remembered that St. James the Great has received this appellation to distinguish him from St. James the Less, Bishop of Jerusalem. He was martyred 11 years after our Lord's ascension at Jerusalem. His body was carried into Spain, where he had evangelized before his death. His relics were discovered in the 9th century and translated to Compostello. On the feast of St. James the Great, this apostle appeared to Gertrude, adorned with the merits of those pilgrims who had visited his shrine. As the saint was wrapped in admiration thereat, she asked our Lord why this apostle was so honored by pilgrimages, that his relics appeared even more revered than those of the holy apostles Peter and Paul. Our Lord replied, "The fervor of his zeal for the salvation of souls has obtained this special privilege for him. And as I took him away from the world so soon, according to the decrees of my providence, that he was unable to convert many persons, which he most ardently desired to do, his desire still remains before me, fresh and flourishing, and what he was unable to do during this life, I permit him to accomplish after his death, by bringing an immense number of pilgrims to his shrine, absolving them from their sins and strengthening them in the Catholic faith." Then, as she desired to obtain the remission of her sins through the merits of this apostle, and as she could not undertake the pilgrimage, she approached the Holy Communion. As soon as she had accomplished her design, she beheld herself seated at a table with our Divine Lord, which was laden with various delicious viands. And as she offered our Lord his precious body, which she had received, for the increase of the beatitude and glory of this apostle, St. James presented himself before God as a prince, to thank him for the favors which he had received through this adorable sacrament. He then asked that God would work in the soul of Gertrude all the good which he had ever deigned to work in any soul through his merits, because she had offered this adorable sacrament in his honor. Chapter 49. For the Vigil and Feast of the Assumption. Of the manner of honoring and saluting the Blessed Virgin. Of the prompt assistance which she affords to those who invoke her. As St. Gertrude was ill on the solemnity of the Assumption, she was unable to fulfill her intention of saying as many Ave Marias as the Blessed Virgin had been years on earth, but she tried to supply for this devotion in some degree by the three aspirations, Ave Maria Gratia Plena, Dominus Tecum. As she offered them with great fervor for herself and those committed to her care, Our Lady appeared to her in glory, clothed with a green mantle covered with golden flowers in the form of trefoils, and said to her, Behold how I am adorned with as many flowers as those for whom you have prayed have uttered words in their petition to me. The brilliancy of these flowers corresponds to the fervor of their petitions, and I will turn this to their advantage, to render them more agreeable to my son and all the celestial court. St. Gertrude observed also that the Blessed Virgin had some roses with six leaves amongst the trefoils, and that three of these leaves were golden and enriched with precious stones, while the other three, which alternated with the former, were distinguished by an admirable variety of colors. The three golden leaves indicated the threefold division of the Ave Maria, which she had made during her sickness, and the three other leaves were added by our Lord, the first to reward her for the love with which she saluted and praised his most sweet mother, the second for her discretion and prudence in regulating her devotions during her illness, and the third for the confidence which she had that the Lord and his loving mother would accept the little she had done. At prime, St. Gertrude besought our Lord to obtain his blessed mother's favor for her, as she feared she had never been sufficiently devout to her. Our Lord then, after bestowing many marks of tenderness and filial affection on his divine mother, said to her, Remember, my beloved mother, that for your sake I am indulgent to sinners, and regard my elect as if she had served you all her life with devotion. At these words, this most pure mother gave herself entirely to Gertrude for the sake of her divine son. As the collect was read at Mass, our Lord appeared to renew in his blessed mother all the joys which she had experienced in his conception, his birth, and the other mysteries of his humanity. At the words Et sua nos defensione munitos, which the saint read with special devotion, she beheld the Mother of God extending her mantle, as if to receive beneath its shelter all those who fled to her patronage. The holy angels then brought all who had prepared themselves very fervently for this feast, and presented them to her as fair young virgins, who stood before her as before their mother, while these good angels defended them from the snares of evil spirits and carefully incited them to good actions. The saint understood that they had obtained this angelic protection by the words Et sua defensione, for at her command the angels never fail to protect and defend those who invoke this glorious virgin. A number of little animals appeared afterwards under the mantle of the Blessed Virgin, and this signified those sinners who addressed themselves to her with devotion. The Mother of Mercy received them with the greatest charity and covered them with her mantle, thus manifesting with what affability she treats those who have recourse to her, how she protects them even during their wanderings. And if they recognize their faults and return to her, she reconciles them to her Son by a sincere penance. At the elevation, St. Gertrude saw our Divine Lord imparting himself, with all the joys of his divinity and humanity, to all those who had assisted at Mass with special devotion in honor of his Blessed Mother, and who had desired to serve her devoutly on the day of her Assumption, so that being sustained by virtue of the adorable sacrament, they were strengthened in their good desires, even as food strengthens and invigorates the human frame. After Mass, the community proceeded to chapter, and the saint saw a multitude of angels surrounding our Lord, who appeared to wait with great joy for the arrival of the religious. Marveling at this, she said to our Lord, "Why hast thou come to this chapter, O most loving Lord, surrounded by such a multitude of angels, since we have not the same devotion now as on the vigil of thy divine birth?" Our Lord replied, "I come as the father of a family to receive those who have been invited to eat at my house. I come also from respect to my mother to announce the solemn festival of her eminent Assumption, and to receive all who are prepared to celebrate this feast with holy disposition. I come also to absolve by the virtue and authority of my divinity all those who humble themselves for the negligences which they have committed concerning their rule." He added, "I am present on all these festivals and see all that you do, although on the vigil of my nativity I assisted in an extraordinary manner." Let us continue with the life and revelations of St. Gertrude on Side B.